Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The young couple invited their aged pastor to Sunday lunch. While they're in the kitchen preparing the meal, the pastor asked their young son what they were having. Goat, the little boy replied. Goat, replied their startled pastor. Are you sure about that? Yes, said the boy. On the drive to church, I heard Mum say to Dad, remember, we're having the old goat for lunch today. And that is the last joke I have in my joke book to share in the church. So I have to go now. As John Clark told me, he's heard all my stories and all the repeats now. So clearly it is time to move on, move from Hong Kong stories to Botswana stories and refresh the illustrations that you have to work for. You'll see from the title that we're going to cover 5 years of church life. So I hope you're settled in for a very, very, very long sermon. And I decided as well that I would actually repeat. So what I'm going to be doing is using 5 things that I've shared with at least some of you during these 5 years. So in fact, it means that if you heard the story already or know the verses I'm preaching from, you could take a kip for a bit and join me when we get to the next one to see if you know that as well. And of course, I do know that really good preachers would have one clear message. So when I'm telling you you've got 5, we're in trouble, aren't we? But what I am praying very much today is that God, through his Holy Spirit, will speak to you, and one of these particular things I say might stay with you as what it is the Lord wants to share with you today. Those of you that go to art galleries, I mustn't move around too much, sorry Phil. Those of you that go to art galleries will know what a retrospective is. A retrospective is an exhibition or compilation showing the development of an artist's work over a period of time. Now, just before you think I've got completely up myself, the artist we're talking about is God. It's God's work, okay? And what I want to share are 5 things that he has said to me during this last period of time. Of course, we talk about 5 years. I've been pastor for 5 and a bit years now. But of course, before that, I was also around as assistant pastor for a little bit. And before that, well, 12 and a half years we've been here now. So the leaving is actually quite a big wrench for us because you've been our family, you've been our home for quite a long time. But I am focusing this talk today on the 5 years during which I've been pastor. And I'm going to talk about gifts and go right back. The 1st of April was when I was actually started my role as pastor. Many of my family, my brother's here today. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, John. So, round of applause for John. Yeah. Many of my family thought it was very appropriate I should become pastor on the 1st of April, but we got over that. But God said something significant to me about gifts. By about the time we got to a year in, I was struggling a bit. I had imposter syndrome, and I'm going to talk about what God said to me at that point. Then I'm going to mention some of the anxieties of 2019 and a time when, as a church, we went through some really difficult times, followed up by a different sort of anxiety as we went through the period of the COVID pandemic starting up. And then I'm going to finish by talking about promises that God gave to me in October, but for me, but also for our church, I believe as well. So a retrospective is looking at the artist's work. This is God, what he has said, what he has done in the life of our church. So let's start then, as we think about this, by thinking about just before my commissioning. I'll read that to you in case you can't read it. But just before my commissioning, and the Eatons and the Revelies went off to Thailand and Myanmar to visit Paul and Amir, Nathan and Hannah, and we had an amazing time. And one of the things was that I had to preach a message a couple of times, both of which were translated, and I took took this passage from 1 Peter because just after I had agreed it was right for me to take on pastorate, you'd agreed it was right, and I started with it, this was the word that God spoke to me. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The spiritual gifts are fundamental to us as a church. We need to be open to receive and be equipped by God the Holy Spirit for all that we do. When we do things in our own strength, they fall flat, they're useless. When we do things through God's Holy Spirit, we can speak with power, we can serve in his strength. And that is what the two types of gifts described in Peter. There's many other lists of gifts, as you know, but these are simply described, those who speak, those who serve. And of course, all of us at times do both. But as a pastor and as a preacher, I need to weigh the fact that what I say, I need to pray that God is speaking through me, that I'm speaking the very words of God. Now, obviously, no pastor, no Christian speaks as though they were infallible. But the way we approach what we do needs to be to trust that God will speak through us. And so that's something for all of us who are involved, whether it's in the Sunday school groups upstairs leading today, whether it's in house group when you're sharing something, in youth, whatever it happens to be. You need to work on letting God the Holy Spirit come through you and speak the very words of God. And if your calling, and many of us have got different gifts, is to serve, the way you do that, the way you serve, needs to be in the very strength that God provides. Not in our own strength, because if we do that in the end, we will run out of energy. We will feel bitter and tired and angry. But we need to trust for the strength that God provides. This is an amazing volunteer-led church. I love Fairfield because of the number of people that are involved. I look back, it's a bit difficult in the pandemic because it rather changed things. But just before the pandemic, we produced an annual report of all the things going on. And I think about 100 people in the church have got specific jobs that they do, that they take part in. And that is wonderful. That is part of being a Christian in this church. It's a team effort. And God says, if you're speaking, speak it as though you're speaking the words of God. And if you're serving, do it in his strength. Use the gifts that God has given you for his glory. Speak, serve. And this little phrase that I've used a few times recently, it came to me at a conference I went on that was really, really helpful. A prayer to start the day. What do you expect me to do today, Lord? What do you want of me? What words of life will you give me to say today? And if we woke up every day and prayed that and went into each day expecting that God had something for us to do, that would make it a special day. Expect God to work through you in what you say and what you do. By about a year into being pastor, I came across this list of preachers. And you'll see my name's there. I hadn't been overlooked. But when you read through the list, it was Dr. Desta Haliso, Dr. Alwyn Mart, the Reverend Dr. Patrick Fung, Dr. Chris Wigram, Chris Reveley, Professor Tony Lane. And I began to feel a bit of an imposter. I began to feel, hang on a minute, all of these other people come bringing, as they do, their wonderful studies, their knowledge, their skills, and who am I to stand up here? And I went through a bit of a shock. It was the first time it had really hit me. And then you look at your inner life as well, and this is something, again, that I'd say to Paul and I'd say to any of us in Christian leadership, we know how far short we fall from what we preach often and what we would want to be. and I just felt like I was an imposter. What was I doing, called pastor of this church? How on earth did this work? And God said something really, really clear and powerfully to me, and it was this: by the grace of God, I am what I am. This comes from the passage in 1 Corinthians 15. And I'd read this passage loads of times before because it's one of the famous sort of passages of the Bible that you often read. It was one of the earliest creeds. But these verses come at the end, Paul writing about himself. I'm the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. You see, we can be falsely humble. If God calls us to do a job, he will equip us to do it. It's not humility to say, I could never do that. Because if God's called you to it, that's a lie. He will equip you. He would give you the gifts to do it. But also I recognized that I needed to take hold of this truth. By the grace of God, I am what I am. With my faults, with my difficulties, with my shortcomings, and with the spiritual gifts that God has given me, and the personality he's given me, and the way he has made me. And this surely is a message to us all. If you are one of those people that says, I could never do that, well, if God's calling you, he wants you to do it. But also, if you're struggling with the sort of person you are, if you're always comparing yourself with other people, like I was in danger of doing with this list, if you're comparing yourself, you are not looking at yourself as God looks at you. He looks at you and he says, I have made you just how I want you. And I want to use you and bless you and give you my grace. And of course, God wants to transform us and make us more and more like his son. I know that. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. We do not need to put ourselves down. I heard someone on the BBC talking about how the best advice they were ever given was that they could achieve anything. Well, I thought that was absolute nonsense. I always wanted to play for England at soccer and never achieved it. Okay, but I think on the other hand, if we recognize that when God calls us to do something, he will equip us. And when we recognize that God knows exactly how we're made and we're made perfectly for his purposes, then by the grace of God, you are what you are. I am what I am. Just one more thing to say on this one as well, is that I think there's two places in this church where I've really been blessed by being myself. One of those is house group, and it was lovely that Jean just shared with Lucy and Alan and Jackie and many of us in our house group. It's been a great place where we could be ourselves, be honest, not have to come with pretenses. And the other place that's been amazing, and I know one or two from Alpha will have joined us on the camera today as well, and that has been Alpha courses. And I absolutely love Alpha courses, where actually you get enough time, not just to preach, but to talk about life, to say what life really means to you and to share it with others. And I would encourage you, I think there'll be an Alpha course again starting in September, October, and I would encourage you, go there, because by the grace of God, you are what you are, and he can use you to share his message with your friends. 2019 was a really difficult year, a difficult period for me, and I suffered quite a bit of fear of people and their reactions as we worked through the very personal and difficult dialogue around sexuality. There was, for me, a loss of sleep, a fear of damaged reputation, a fear which proved true of people leaving the church because they disagreed with what we were presenting, and a sense of causing damage in people's lives. People who I knew were acting out of really good motives, people I loved as well. And we've seen a number of lovely brothers and sisters who have left our church, and that has been so painful. And during that time, I was really, really struggling. And I think I've shared with you before, I tend to read just briefly a psalm every night, not to study it, not to think about it, just to read it. And this particular time, this particular verse from Psalm 112 came up. They will have no fear of bad news where their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. The whole passage is this: surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. And actually, fear is, surprisingly for me, a theme that comes through a couple more times in this talk today. But this was the first time that fear of people and reactions, and I learned a lot through it about trusting God. But of course, it is something that you need to pray quite often. Lord, free me from fear of bad news. And a couple of things were really helpful for me in this. One thing I would say is this. Please think about the way that you write emails, the way you communicate a message. Because sometimes, especially perhaps for those in business, if you've had a day when you've been issuing commands and instructions, and then you are fed up with your pastor or your house group leader or whoever it is, and you send them a blockbuster saying just what you thought, and it's jolly clear what you thought, just remember how they will receive it. And so, again, in terms of approaching bad news, perhaps I would say if you've got bad news to deliver to someone, and you're going to do it by writing it, please wait a bit and read it through again and just weigh how it might come across. But something that was really helpful to me was something that Chris Bushell came across on a course that she did. She went on this amazing course training up for the National Health Service as a nurse practitioner in leadership. And one of the things that was so helpful was this. We cannot be responsible for the way that other people react to us if we behave sensibly and well. But we are responsible for our intentions. And if we did something with good intentions and it's received wrong or badly and it goes wrong, then actually, although we might be deeply upset and we might need to take action to try and fix that, we cannot be held responsible for that. But we are responsible for our intentions, the way that we set about doing things. And I think balanced with that thing about fear of bad news is that sometimes we're responsible for sharing something that someone else will receive as bad news. And again, where I have been clumsy in doing that to people in the church, I apologize and ask for your forgiveness. But when we do, we need to think about our intentions and try to make sure that we communicate the love of God. And then these verses, Romans 14 is a really, really important chapter during that year when we were struggling with these issues that were speaking right into how we interpret what it means to be a Christian, how we interpret how we live together. And these verses were really helpful to me. Stop passing judgment upon each other was the first one. And then make every effort to do what leads to peace. And in as much as it is possible, we need to seek peace and harmony within the church, hard though at times that might be. And sometimes there will be hardship and damage in relationships as maybe both parties seek to follow God as they see right. Coping with anxiety and fears. The next one is coping with a very different sort of fear, the pandemic. And I'm just going to put up a list now of 12 brothers and sisters in our church congregation who passed away, who died in the last 18 months. Because very sadly, one other aspect of my time at Fairfield has been the number of funerals that I've been involved with and memorial services and so on. And I don't know if you can read the names there, but dear brothers and sisters, David McKinder, Jean Wright, Peter Miller, David Rout, Virginia Yarn, Anita Kessel, Lise Wilson, Vanessa Rumble, Alastair Alcock, and last week, Linda Burrows. Not all dying of COVID, but the impact of this last year. And of course, it's a tough time to work through. And I don't know if you remember what it was like in those first few weeks of March and April 2020, as we started to go into lockdown and we did not know what was going to happen. And the first sermon I preached, I think it was probably one I preached in the foyer. I don't know if you remember, Candy and I remember working out how we're going to do that Zoom service. And the first one I think we did was on Candy's Apple iPhone on a music stand, and me standing the other side of the foyer. And we did it there. And then we went on. I did quite a few talks, as others did too, from a dining room table piled up with boxes with a laptop on the top, and you preach at a screen in a room that's empty. But this one was early on. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midnight. He will save you from the deadly pestilence. This was a different sort of fear from worrying about people's reactions. And this psalm spoke to many of us. And some dear brothers and sisters are now safe with the Lord, having gone through illness and death. But it's a reminder to me that our only safe refuge is in God. And as I've had to do far, far more funeral services than I ever expected, it's been time and time again very draining, very sad, but also so affirming of the fact that we know that we have a hope. We have a hope of eternal life. We will be with Jesus. We will be reunited with those who also died in the faith. And this is something which is so strong, and something where we are different as Christians to the way we approach death. Some of you know I did Linda's funeral on Thursday and another good friend on Friday, which was a humanist service. But we can speak of the certainty of eternal life, of going to that place where there is no more sadness or tears or illness or death when we are with the Lord forever. So our security when faced with fears lies in God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty now and forever. And finally, and we come to something I shared with the church in letter form as well. And what's significant about this to me was I really saw it as a prophecy to me and for the church as to what was going to come. Do you remember Saturday, the 17th of October, 2020? Probably not, but I do. I was sitting down and it was becoming clear that we were going to go into a second wave of COVID. I'd also just met Paul Tanner for the first time the week before. And it became clear that it was possible that he might be coming to Fairfield, which we were planning, as you know, to find my successor. And I was reading this passage in this commentary. I've got this commentary here if anyone wants to check the validity of what I said. And the first verse is not one of those that grips you normally. In the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. And what it said in the book was that the date precisely in history when this prophecy was given was the 17th of October, 520 BC. And I was reading it on the 17th of October, 2020 AD. 2,400 years ago and a bit. It was mind-blowing for me because it was absolutely what I needed to hear. I'd been going through a really tough time because as we thought we got through COVID and it was coming back again, I realized that the end of my time as pastor would be completely covered the last 15, 18 months by the pandemic. And that wasn't what I expected. I'm so looking forward to singing in church next week properly because that will be the first time in, 15 months we've been able to do so. Let me read you the passage. I'm just sorry to go through it. I'm just going to pick out some bits here. I'm going to start at verse 4. No, verse 3. God says to them, "Who of you is left who saw this temple house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem like it's nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, Joshua, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear." This is what the Lord Almighty says. "In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace." I needed to hear that message. I needed to hear, "Be strong and keep working." Because when things were so uncertain, it was a bit of a kick up the pants. Keep going, Chris. Keep going. I needed to hear, "I am with you. The Lord is with you." I needed to hear, "My spirit is among you. Do not fear." Fear is coming up as a theme again. And if that's what God is speaking to you about today, please pray with someone afterwards. Prayer ministry can be such a good way of dealing with things as God speaks to you. And God is saying, "I will shake everything." And if you look at what's going on in the world around us, with the news today, with the Justice series we've done, which brought up so many different issues, we know that the world is shaken. It's not for me to say, but it feels more and more and more like the end times, more and more like that God will come and intervene in this world again with Jesus' return. But also, and this was a message I needed to hear as well, as I was looking after the church with 18 months of lockdown, which was not how I would like to have finished my time as pastor. Actually, what God was saying was, "Look into future, church. Here are my promises. What's going to happen in the future to Fairfield will be greater than what was there in the past." Now, that's not to discourage the past or to dismiss it. I think it's absolutely important that we learn from the past. We give thanks to see what God has done. You can give thanks for pastors in the past, for Roger, for Alistair, for Tim, for me, and for Paul now. And if Jesus doesn't come back before Paul finishes his pastorate, for the next pastor. That's great. But what we know is that God's purposes are that his glory will be seen more and more. And I took this as a promise very much, backed up with the fact that God would give to me and to all of us peace about this. That perhaps as God works his purposes out, it may not be with me as part of it, and maybe there's plenty of reasons for that, but it will be that he will work his purposes out here, and he will work his purposes out in me somewhere else, and he gives me peace about that. So pray expectantly in faith. God promises to do more amazing things in the future in Fairfield Church. And what does that call you to do? To be strong and to work, because we are a volunteer church and you need to play your part in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So as we finish, an exhibition looking back over God's work in this church. Is God encouraging you to use your spiritual gifts with more faith? Are you feeling perhaps you're not worthy? Well, by the grace of God, you are what you are. Are you fearful of other people? Let's not fear bad news. Are you fearful of illness and sickness and danger? Well, come to him, because we're only safe with him as our refuge. Are you looking forward to the future promises of God? And before you panic that there's one more slide, this was the last one that set me on this retrospective theme. For we are God's handiwork, and that word can mean masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are a work in progress. As Rosemary said, and I didn't know she was going to say it, Christians don't retire. We're going on to something. I'm not a masterpiece yet. You're not a masterpiece yet. But we're on the way, because we are already beautiful in God's eyes and loved by him better than anyone else. And he has promised, as the artist, that he will complete the work that he is doing in us. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.